guys, welcome back to my show. Today's episode, I have a really special guest with me today. His name is Marty Brunsworth. Hi, Marty. How are you today?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Yeah, so please introduce yourself and maybe talk a little bit about, you know, your foundation and maybe just like, you know, explain who you are and things like that.
Okay. Marty Brunsworth. We're located in Harrison, Arkansas, northern Arkansas, very close to the Missouri border. And I'm the older brother by 16 years of Brandon Brunsworth, the namesake of the foundation. Brandon was a high school football player, a good student, had scholarships to play college football at some smaller schools, but wanted to be a Razorback football player, and had the opportunity to begin his career as a walk-on. So no scholarship, had to pay his own way, but he earned a scholarship after that first year in football, and became a starter for 3 years, finished all-conference, which is in the Southeastern Conference, probably the best conference in college football. And, you know, that's schools like Alabama, Georgia, Auburn, all these powerhouses. But he finished up as a two-time all-conference player, and his senior year, his first team All-American. So had a fantastic college career, even though he didn't get a scholarship right out of high school like he would want, like everyone wants, but he took the opportunity he had and ran with it, worked hard, outworked everyone, which is what a walk-on player has to do, and was drafted with the 63rd overall pick in the 1999 NFL draft by the Indianapolis Colts, and went to his first mini camp with the Colts, and was already basically told he was going to start. He was told he was going to be a starter, which is a rare, rare thing, especially for offensive linemen, for that to happen. So there's a guy that started from nothing and just wouldn't be told no, wouldn't listen to the doubters, outworked everyone, and became the 63rd overall pick in the draft against all these players that were put on scholarship coming out of high school. So he was back home for a few days after camp, 11 days after camp, had a tragic auto accident and was killed in a car accident. And never had the opportunity to play out his NFL career. So what we did, our family, is begin the Brandon Brunsworth Foundation. Started that up shortly after, or incorporated shortly after his accident, a few months, and then over the next year or so, started doing our programs, and such as our Burles Kids program. We bring children to Razorback football games that have never had the opportunity, also to Indianapolis Colts games that have, these are underprivileged kids that have never had the opportunity to do anything like that. So it's a really big deal to them. And on the college scene, you know, for them to be able to be on a college campus, we have found out over the years that it's very inspiring. We have guys that meet them that are part of a fraternity, and they get a tour of college campus, and most of these kids come from less than fortunate home environments. Never thought the possibility of being a college student was even on the horizon. And we have found many of these that have gone on to be attend college, some at the University of Arkansas, some at other schools, but they've, you know, been shown that that is possible. And so even one that was a Razorback football player, his first game was as a Burles kid. So being able to see, you know, what was possible was really huge for him and so many others. We also have scholarships available at the University of Arkansas for graduate students. We've given over $2 million worth of scholarships out over the years to close to 400 students. And we have our Burles Award Trophy. Goes to the nation's number one player in the country that began his career as a walk-on. I guess the best way to look at it, it's the Heisman for players that began as walk-ons. And these are good players. We've had two players that were Heisman finalists that have won the Burles Award Trophy. One player actually won the Heisman, which is Baker Mayfield. And then Stetson Bennett was a finalist 2 years ago for the Heisman Trophy. Another award that we do on the high school level is the Burles Award Character Award, and it has really nothing to do about performance on the field. It's all about character. So this is a high school award, and it could go to the very best player. More than not, it goes to a young man that has shown up, stayed late, has done everything asked of him for years, and just really is not an outstanding performer on the field. Maybe rarely sees the field on game night, but he's there every day working hard and being a great example to his teammates. So now we have that, and that is a nationwide award. And we have coaches from coast to coast, that high school coaches that give out this award to a senior player that is really deserving. It's become a highlight of their awards banquet. Our Brandon Burles Award football camps are conducted every summer. This year it's May 31st in our hometown of Harrison, Arkansas, and then June 1st in Little Rock, Arkansas. Former Razorback players and some current players participate in these camps and coach the kids. It's an annual thing that we've done for well over 20 years, and it just keeps growing. Last year, both camps were completely sold out. I think for the last 2 years, both camps were completely sold out. One program that is really a game changer that we're very proud of is our Eyes of a Champion program. Brandon was recognized for his play on the field, but he's also recognized for his glasses that he wore on the field. He had some like sports glasses, and those become kind of his symbol, and they're our symbol for the foundation. And so we have a program that provides eye care to children in all 75 counties in the state of Arkansas, parts of Texas, parts of Louisiana, Pennsylvania, and Indiana. And that program continues to expand daily. And our goal is to have that program nationwide. These are for kids that maybe falling behind in school, and especially for the very young children. They feel like maybe I'm not as smart. Why am I falling behind? And it leads to all other kinds of issues. And this is just a game changer. And this is for children that really for the parents that have no other way of providing glasses for them. They don't qualify for maybe state programs, state aid. And parents sometimes are working two jobs. They're trying their best to provide, but that eye care is just out of reach. So This is an incredible program that is a life changer. So that kind of, I probably missed a few things, but that kind of sums up. There's a lot going, and we always have a lot going, and that's the way we like it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think it's quite incredible how you're continuing Brandon's legacy through your foundation, supporting kids who need glasses, supporting athletes out there who are, just needing that tiny little push to bring them to where they want to be. And I think it's as I said earlier, it's just awesome how you just incorporate every single thing that Brandon had, and using that motivation to boost and continue this foundation. So my next question for you is how did you have the power, or how did you have that emotional balance where you kind of felt you were ready to start the foundation, especially since Brandon had just recently passed away?
Right. Well, we incorporated the foundation. I think we started that in June. His accident was in April, and we started the process of starting that. We really didn't do anything for another year. That's just kind of regrouping, I guess you could say, or trying to get your emotions in check and make sure you're ready to do something. One thing, we didn't know what we were doing. We really didn't. We learned from some people, but for the most part, at that time, there was very little resources out there to kind of tell you what to do. So we did pick up a few tips here and there, but for the most part, we kind of learned as we went. So one of the first things we did was our Burles Kids program, and followed up by our football camps. And so, the motivation for it is just that, he was such a good example to so many, young and old alike, that we just couldn't, as a family, let that end, after his accident. And so he was 22 years old, and we just wanted his message and what he stood for to continue. And so, that's the way we set it up, and that's the way it's evolved over the years. And at this point, we've got succession plans, or all kinds of things, and that we plan on this foundation being around for many, many, many years. I'd never see an end to it. I won't be here for all of it, but someone else will be running it, and my wife and I just it's our passion. That's what we do, and we just want to, keep that example out there, that no matter what anyone else thinks, it only matters what you think. And if you work hard, and that's the key, working hard, have a strong faith, work hard, and are willing to pay the price, anything's possible.
Yeah, I think, as I said earlier, I really applaud you, for, creating this initiative, because I think it's really important to, honor the people who deserve to be honored. Often people, they honor musicians, they honor creatives, they honor painters and things, but the sports arena especially, many people love sports, but at the same time, the appreciation that each athlete deserves, it's often diminished regardless of where they are in life. And I think your foundation kind of encapsulates that whole idea and just changes it and just support every single athlete out there, low income student athletes, or people who just need that extra support. And I think it's just awesome how you just incorporate every single thing just to make that possible.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so I do believe that you had this movie out called The Greater, which was based on Brandon's story. So based on that, would you say that has helped your foundation, grow, so that because of that base? Or do you think that you were having the same success before and after the movie?
No, I think it's certainly been helpful. Not long after Brandon's accident, he was a national figure. He was on TV all the time, so people around the country back then, they knew who that was. Anyone that was into sports, anyone that watched football, they knew him. So we were contacted by producers out of Hollywood not long after his accident. Sports Illustrated did a full write-up, a big 7-page spread, a big piece on him that came out few months after his accident. But we were contacted by producers out of Hollywood about doing a film, and my question to all of them was, what input would the family have? And they were honest and said, you just won't have any. Once you sign the rights away, we've got to make a movie that that we think will do well. And so we weren't comfortable with that, because just didn't know how he would be portrayed, or how any of us would be portrayed. So we didn't do that. Then a few years later, contacted by someone here in the state of Arkansas, a real estate investor, and basically he told me, he said, we met with he and his wife, and he said, I think Brandon deserves to have a movie made about him. I don't know how to do that. I'm willing to learn or hire the people to do it. And And what his wife said that day was really what sealed the deal. Is she said, whatever he sets his mind to, he does. I understood that. So we agreed to do that. And another key point was that family would have input and that they would not take Brandon's faith out of, they wouldn't diminish or keep it low key as far as his faith goes, because, you know, if he did that, it wouldn't be Brandon, wouldn't be the same person. So all through the process, and there were a lot of different script that they kept us up to date on the scripts. There were some good ones, there were some bad ones, there were some really bad ones. And then he went through several people out of Hollywood that he hired, producers and script writers, and we met with them, and he spent a lot of time with them, the producer, and most all of it, though, except for the actors, it turned out that most everyone was fairly local. The crew, some were from Little Rock, a lot were from New York. The actors were, you know, from California and all over. There were some local, but not any of the major roles were local. But it has, you know, it was quite a process. I think it was like 11 years total by the time it hit the screen from when we first started talking. But long during that process, a lot of patience from all of us, you know, not only our family, but the producer, because he was working on getting investors and he was putting his own money in it. So it took a long, long time. But when we finally got there, it was something that we're very proud of.
Yeah, I think just having, like, you know, that platform, number one, to just show a story, and also having, like, that input. Because I think, like, honestly, what Hollywood does often is, like, you know, especially when it has something, you know, that life-changing happening to the family or even to the person themselves. Like, if it's, like, a big job offer, or if it's, like, something huge that is, like, you know, magnificent, it's like often like glorified. They make, like, you know, the whole process of, like, especially in the movies where there are accidents happening, it's not a like fun process. It's not a fun process for the family, and like by portraying it in such a bad way where, like, you know, it shows almost comical, it's very hard on the family. And I think you having input on it, and, like, you know, like that scene, they did not even show the scene, I believe, right, in the movie. And I think I really appreciated that, because then, you know, the family watching it, especially you, right, you know, you and your family, you would not be, like, you know, reliving and watching it. Because now if you were to watch it, I mean, of course, you know what's going to happen next. But at the same time, it's not going to be hard for you to, like, you know, watch. It's not going to be,
real graphic. That was, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that was actually my request. Don't show any of that. And it's funny, you know, first time we saw it, I saw you did exactly what I didn't know how they'd handle it. Because I remember a meeting, I said, why don't we just fade to white? And that's what happened. So I thought it looked, and, you know, you understood one thing with the way the movie opens, you know, already. And I think they really did a good job, the producer and the director, of putting a good script together where you go back in time. And anytime I see a film like that where you go back in time, I really like those. And they had to figure out a way to tell this story without it just being, without just letting the air out of it at the end, you know, and making it, you know, that you had to let, you had to know early on so that, it's not as tragic, even though it is.
Absolutely, because I think, like, on your part, I think it was really smart to, like, not go forward with the first offer, but, like, you had zero, like, say, because I think in that case, like, you know, it often, again, as I said earlier, just, like, it's the film industry. So, like, in the film industry, it's always, like, about the viewers. It's always about, they enjoy drama. They will like watching this if we, like, you know, glorify it and make it more dramatic than it actually was. And then it just loses the whole purpose of telling the story. The story is about a young man who's awesome at football and is just going through life amazingly, like, you know, All-American and playing, like, big games, being a walk-on and still just blowing the whole team, right? And so, like, that story, it's important. That's the reason people are watching, not because not because he passed away, but because of his story. It's like, you know, shows the determination he had. He never stopped. Like, people were just like, you know, in the movie they show it a lot about, you know, him being put down by his teammates, but he just kept going.
Exactly. You know, you have to admit it, that takes something special to be told over and over again, you're not good enough, and keep going. And you know, with the Earl Swart Trophy Award that we give out every year, I get to hear that same story, you know, because that's what all these guys have heard, you know, that, you know, you're not good enough, don't think you can do it. Because if they did think you were good enough, they probably would have awarded you a scholarship to begin with, but you had to prove it. But in the process of proving it, these guys gained so much, you know, more from that than getting the scholarship to begin with. You know, earning it, showing them and earning it is really beneficial, and something that, you know, that they'll have with them for the rest of their life.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like, when you work towards something, it's not just for scholarships. I think it's just for anything. If you were, like, let's say you want to, like, have a movie made on you, for whatever reason, like, maybe you just want to be on screen, however possible, but, like, you kind of have to earn it, right? You cannot just be going around to Hollywood and being like, I want a movie made on me, or something like that. Or, like, you want a job, you have to work for it, kind of like that. So, I think just working on it just makes it more, like, it makes you feel more happy versus just getting it handed down to you, regardless of whether you actually need it or because you just want it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, having that's, you know, they say that the struggle makes you stronger, and the struggle's not always fun, but it you certainly gain a lot from it.
For sure. My last and final question for you is, what advice would you give to walk-ons or just any athletes on, like, how to, like, you know, have the determination to keep going even when life keeps pushing them down?
Yeah, that's a really good one. And it's not just in athletics, you know, we're everyone to be a walk-on. My wife has said that, you know, we all, and sometimes at certain points we've all been a walk-on, whether, you know, regardless of what we're doing, you've got to prove yourself. So the advice I give is one thing, and it's what we tell when we speak to youth groups, or just anyone, or you know, whatever environment is set your goals. But the key to that is you got to work at it. And I tell our kids every year, opening a football camp, you know, to dream big, but you got to put in the work, because if you don't put in the work, it's not really a dream, it's a wish. And, you know, we can all wish, but those don't turn out as well, and you don't gain anything from it. Even if you do, you know, that wish comes true, but a dream's a different thing. A dream and a goal, and then work at it, and, you know, when it doesn't seem attainable, keep going, and don't quit. Have belief in yourself, and you know, a strong faith. I don't know how you do it without that. And anything is attainable if you're willing to pay the price.
That's really well said. I think, like, you know, everything you said kind of just sums up everything we've talked about in this episode. I think, like, you know, just that work ethic, just having that seriousness about what you're doing. You cannot just, as he said, like, you know, wishes and dreams are different. Because with wishes, you're just kind of saying, I wish I could be this thing. Versus mm-hmm. I dream of, would be kind of like an aspiration, but you're actually working towards it. Like, for me, I am all over the place. I am a sophomore in high school, so I'm still figuring out things. But for me, I wish to be a star. But my dream is to be like a good one. Or, like, you know, a dream to be good at what I'm doing, whatever it is, a star or anything, as a matter of fact. So I think you giving that distinction is really important, especially to the young people watching this who may be starting off in athletics or education or anything. Like, you know, I think it's a good advice for anyone. So everyone listening to this episode, I hope you all learned something from this episode. Thank you, Marty, for being on this show.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much. I'll be linking Marty's foundation's website in the show notes. Feel free to check it out and support his cause. Thank you so much.